Father God, I thank you. We thank you for all that you do, for all that you are. And gracious Lord, even now, as we prepare to come before you, Lord, to hear your word, for there is no word of man that brings life, but only your word. For you yourself, O Lord Jesus, are life, and in you we find our dwelling place. So, Lord Jesus, I surrender myself to you. I surrender up my lips, my tongue, my entire being. And I pray, Father, that you would give those who are here ears to hear you and not a man standing in front. And Father, I pray that together we may honor you with the words that only you have given us, that those words of life would truly be our banner, for our banner is Jesus Christ. And we know that from the Word, it tells us that in the beginning was God. And Lord Jesus, we know you were there because God spoke. And from John 1, it says that you are that word that was spoken. So guide us, Lord, into your presence and give us your reality. In Jesus' name, amen. So today we're here to do two things in all reality. First, we're here to worship our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, because today is Sunday. It's our normal Sunday service. And for those of you who are here, many of you probably attend church. Amen? I got to warn you, for those of you who aren't used to me, I actually expect you to answer me. Okay? I need the feedback. Okay? And the more feedback you give me, the better the sermon will be. Okay. We are also here to celebrate the life of someone that all of us in this room know and yet love. Amen. Amen. And the day will come again when we get to hug her. But I'll guarantee you she won't look like she did when she left. You know, I fully believe the Scripture. How many of you believe the Scripture? And in the Scripture it says that in that day, we will see him, for we will be like him. Okay? How old was Jesus when he died? About 33, right? I'm 53. I will be like him. I cannot wait to be 33 again. Because that's when everything worked. So today, we're going to remember that reality, that these are the promises. And there's Miss Arlene. She's 33. Dan, when you get there, you're going to see a young Miss Arlene. But you can't go for a while yet. The question then here becomes one of, what is this sermon about the Feast of Tabernacles going to be? Where's it going to go? Where's it going to lead us? Well, it's going to be looking at the reality of just what's going on for Israel and for us here this day. Because truly, the Feast of Tabernacles was a seven-day period after Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, which celebrated God's provision for the people. It was also known as the Feast of Booths and the Feast of the Ingathering. And to me, that Feast of the Ingathering is probably the more appropriate thing for us to think of here today and in our lives in the church, okay? Because the Feast of Tabernacles was remembrance of what God had delivered the people from out of Egypt and how God had provided for them and gave them that hope and brought them into a land that was not their own, filled with houses and everything else, because they lived temporarily for 430 years in Egypt as slaves, and God was giving them their own nation. But we can look at it as the Feast of Ingathering. Now, when Israel looked at it as the Feast of Ingathering, what was it the Feast of Ingathering of? Well, it was the ingathering of the grain offerings and the fruit offerings. Actually, it was the grapes and the olives, because they had a spring ingathering, which was the wheat, and in the fall, they would have the ingathering of the grapes and the olives, which was a big portion of their economy. So they looked at it as the ingathering of the crops. You see, when we look at where these people were and what was going on, we can see how they had a reason to celebrate. I look at this and I say to myself, why is this so interesting? Why, God, am I talking about the Feast of Tabernacles? And Lord, what does this have to do with Miss Arlene? Well, when you think about the Feast of Ingathering, what is the fruit of Jesus Christ? Remember, he said, I am the vine and you are the branches. No one can bear fruit without me. Now, I want you to picture this. For those of you who know me, you've heard this time and again. But you see, Jesus is the vine, but a vine by itself can't do anything, can it? It'll die, won't it? It needs to be connected to what? A root. So who's the root? Well, that's God himself. So Jesus is connected to God the Father. He's the vine. We're the branches. Where's the Holy Spirit come in? Well, the Holy Spirit is the sap that flows from the Father through the Son into us, and it bears fruit. But in the life of Christ, we are his fruit. So the ingathering is the bringing in of his people at the appropriate time. You know, there's a great and fearful day that's coming that is known in Christian terms as the rapture. How many of you are looking up and listening for the trumpet? I'll guarantee you, as the day approaches, we can see it coming clearer and clearer all the time. So what are we celebrating here today? We are celebrating one who has been harvested. And it so amazes me because the entire week that Miss Arlene was passing, Brother Dan was asking somebody to please come over and pick the grapes. Do you see the relationships? God does what only God can do. Dan, how many of those grapes were taken?
One basketful from this time.
And the rest of them are still on the vine. And the rest of them are still on the vine. One was collected. And the rest of them are still on the vine. I don't put this stuff together, folks. I'm not that good. But we need to understand this ingathering is for each and every one of us. And we need to celebrate it. We need to celebrate the going home of all of our saints. We need to celebrate the reality that there is a great and fearful day coming when there will be a great ingathering, when all of a sudden all the fruit's going to be harvested all at one time, and we're going to be taken up, and there will be nothing left on the vine, for the branches will be empty. And that, dear friends, is where we're looking. So as I look at this, I say to myself, why so interesting? Because when we think about what happened with Miss Arlene, I really want you to think about what happened with Miss Arlene. She was taken off of all the medications that kept her alive, okay? Because it was fake life that was holding her together. She had medication for her heart and some other things. But the reality was the medication was killing her just as much as anything else. Because they would give her one medication and this would go wrong. So then they would have to take her off that medication and put her on this medication. They said, it's at a point where we can't do anything. If we treat one thing, we'll kill her. If we treat the other thing, we'll kill her. Her body was tired. In fact, that's what she told me at rehab. I'm tired, Pastor. I don't want to fight anymore. So what is in store then for us but to go home? And that's where she has gone. But the part that I love about this, the part that makes it so interesting to me, is one of the realities that had to happen. One of the things that had to transpire during the Feast of Tabernacles, and this is by regulation. Please remember, the Jews were required by the law, by God's ordinance, that they had to, if you were a native-born Hebrew, you must appear in Jerusalem sometime during the Feast of Tabernacles to offer yourself before the Lord. To appear before the Lord in His holy city. Miss Arlene could have died the entire week before. But she held on because she wanted to experience Yom Kippur in a very real way. She wanted to experience her Redeemer, her Day of Atonement. And then she wanted to appear before the Lord. You know, like I said, I can't put this stuff together. Only God can. Miss Arlene died on the second day of the Feast of Tabernacles. And she went to the holy city. And she's there now. The only bad part is, well, only on our part, she ain't coming back for a little while anyhow. Because she's going to stay there with him and glory with him until the day that we are all called to be with him. As each of us come to that place of understanding and knowing that we must appear before the Lord, one of the things that I think of, and you'll see it on the screen here right now, is John 14, 1 through 7. I'm putting all the scriptures up on the screen. That's why I don't think there's many scriptures out, if there are any scriptures out, because everything's going to be up on the screen because it makes it a whole lot easier. Otherwise, I would be sitting here waiting for you all to turn there. So today, from John, it says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that wherever I am, there you may be also. And you know the way where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How do we know the way?" And Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you know him and have seen him." This is a reality that affects every person in our lives. If we know Jesus Christ, we know that God has made a place for us. We know that we have a place to be received to. And I think that one of the greatest promises that we can ever remember here is this is part of God's provision. God's greatest provision is Himself. It's not the things of this world. Please remember, the Israelites, when they celebrated the Feast of Tabernacles, they were celebrating things that happened in history. They were celebrating the ingathering of their crops. They were celebrating that God had delivered them out of Egypt and brought them into Israel. And when you think about those things, that's what we can get ourselves stuck into, is we can begin celebrating the things of life rather than life itself. And life is Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen on that? And without Jesus Christ, none of us have life. But if we do have life, we know the way. That's why Thomas said, "I don't know the way," because life was not in him as of yet. Because the only way life gets in us is through the cross. And the cross hadn't happened. They didn't understand it. And when the Holy Spirit enters us, we have life. And that life is through Jesus Christ and His resurrection. You see, Jesus is the ultimate fulfillment of God's provision. Not the paychecks that we get, and I love it, here comes the Holy Spirit. Did you see that wind blowing in there? Not the things that we accumulate, not the things that we acquire. Anyone will tell you that knows Miss Arlene. I've known her for years. And she said to me one time, in fact, many times, she said, "You know, when I'm dead and gone, somebody's going to have a mess to clean up because there are so many things in my house." I said, "Well, Miss Arlene, where'd all those things come from?" She said, "Well, they were my parents and my grandparents, and some of it's even older than that." She said, "Some of those things I haven't seen since I was a little girl." And I'm thinking, wow. But Miss Arlene didn't cherish the things. Miss Arlene cherished the people. Miss Arlene cherished life. Miss Arlene cherished God and her relationship. And those are the things that I want us to remember. Those are the things that I want us to hold on to as we think back and we begin to dwell on just where and who Miss Arlene is. The nation of Israel had no idea what the fullness of God's provision would come to be. Can I have the next slide? Just the one with our cross, our insignia. There you go. That has a purpose. Can you see it? Can you see what's up there? Don't just look at the picture. Look through it. What's in it? What is it? That picture is supposed to be a picture of the heart of Jesus Christ. Do you see the light radiating out from it? Because life is not red. Life is pure white light. And the further you get away from it, the bluer it gets. Pure white light. And in the heart of Jesus Christ was the cross of Calvary, that every man, woman, and child would be saved. And in the heart of Jesus Christ was the gift of the Holy Spirit to all who would believe. That's who this church is. Miss Arlene helped build that. Miss Arlene was a big part of that. Because she was the one that kept this pastor straight, kept me on the mark. It was funny, when I think back and I try to understand what was it like for Israel? What was it like for these people who were chosen by God, who received His favor all the time? They had all the blessings, they had all the things. Their house was full. But did they honor God? Did they love God? Or did they fall in love with the things? Guess what happened, America? We fell in love with our things, didn't we? How many of us like our toys? None of us like our toys, do we? You know the only difference between men and boys? Is the cost of their toys. Okay? And the number of them we actually have. Ladies, I hate to tell you, it's the same thing. You used to play makeup, now you put it on. Okay? It is so funny because we think we're all grown up. We're still children because we still think in very simple terms. Because we have not seen eternity yet. We have no idea what it means to be mature. We have no idea what it means to be in the fullness of God's provision and look at it for what it really is. For we are dust. And God breathed life into dust. And that life He breathed into us was that we would have communion with Him, a creation that was able to choose Him. And so much of creation chooses not to love God, not to receive the fullness of His provision, because we all receive His provision, amen? He makes the sun to shine on the righteous and the unrighteous. He makes the rain to fall on those too. And we all receive that general grace. But specific grace needs to be chosen. Israel had that opportunity. Israel was to worship God. They were to celebrate His provision in their lives. The provision of what? Things? No, the provision of righteousness. Because God was bestowing upon them the ability to be a righteous people, His people, chosen by Him through Abraham. And rather than choosing God, they chose the things of this world. And so too, to so many of us. But Jesus said from John 3:16, it's coming. It's coming. There it is. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. Keep going. Is that all we have, Ryan? For God did not send His Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through Him. He who believes in Him is not judged. He who does not believe has been judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. This is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and men love the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But he who practices the truth comes into the light so that his deeds may be manifested as having been wrought in God. Blessed be his holy word. Jesus here is speaking to us the very reality of the provision that He has given to us. There are so many people that will not receive the reality that God gave His Son to pay a penalty that we could never pay. Miss Arlene accepted that. Miss Arlene walked in that. I had a conversation with her several times where we spoke about, you know, when did you actually receive the Lord? And she said, oh my goodness. She said, I've always been in the Lord. I said, well, now what does that mean? Because now you're talking to a pagan who was saved, okay? You're talking to a pagan who was saved. I can tell you the day, I know what happened, I know where I was, et cetera, et cetera. I said, well, now wait a minute, Miss Arlene, when did it happen? She said, oh my, she said, I was such a little girl, was in Sunday school, and she said, I've always been in church. She said, but there was just a point in time where I knew that what Jesus did, He did for me. And she said, I just grew up that way. And I thought, wow. What a way to grow up. Always knowing from the time she can remember being young. You know, how many of us can remember when we were 5? A couple of you? How many of you can remember when you were 3? I can. I can remember being 3 years old. My wife thinks it's so funny. She says, I can't remember being 15. Believe me, I'll pay for that later. But Miss Arlene, her earliest recollections was the reality that the Lord has always been with her and has loved her. And it so amazes me because she saw God's provision and she was content. Oh, there's a word for you. Grab a hold of that one and chew for a couple of decades. Because how many of us are content where we are? We might dare to say it, but the reality is how many of us still go out there, you turn on the shopping channels because there just might be that something out there that you have to have. For you guys, it may be that new gun or that new bow or that boat or the girlfriend who has it all to bring into the picture, right? We're always looking for something more, but the only more we can ever, ever truly have is Jesus Christ, for He owns it all. He is all in all. And when we chose Him, we received the fullness of God's promise. My future daughter-in-law is just smiling at me like, yeah, because she's got the boat and the guns and the bow. And my son says, yeah, and I got a ring on her finger. But are we going to see past these things? And are we going to see into eternity the truth that God has given us? Are we going to see that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whomever shall believe shall be saved? And again. For you see, in Israel's day, they did not understand as we understand. Please turn to slide 7, Ryan. 1 Corinthians 13 and 12. Because Israel understood as Paul speaks here, for now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I will know fully, just as I also have been fully known. God knows who we are. God knows where we are. God knows what we need. For us to look into the face of eternity, we don't see all of it. But there will come a time when God will reveal it. In Israel's day, as they were going through the Feast of Tabernacles, they were celebrating as best they knew how, because the Messiah had not come yet. But we have the Messiah, so how best we celebrate but to know and understand and receive that the fullness of God's provision is here for us today. Amen. And if we walk in that fullness, then we have reason to celebrate. The Feast of Tabernacles should be part of every Christian family. Do you know that? Now, some of you out there are going to think I'm a heretic because I'm going to say something here that you need to hear. We have walked away from the faith of Jesus Christ. We have a faith in the Christian church. Amen? But the reality is, was Jesus a Christian? Was Paul a Christian? Was Peter a Christian? They were Jews. Christianity didn't come into effect until Rome, when Rome established the church. Up until that point in time, the early church worshipped Yom Kippur, worshipped the Feast of Tabernacles, worshipped as God described. Now, I'm not telling you, throw out your Christian faith. I don't believe in that. I really don't. I believe God has built us to where He wants the church to be. We're a little bit different, right? But we need to recognize that there's a reason for these things, and we need to give thanks to God during this period of time of the Feast of Tabernacles for the ingathering. We need to give glory to God. We need to celebrate God during this time for what He has provided us with. Because the Old Testament says we're supposed to do so. Even though we're not native born, we are adopted. And God says there's no difference between us, whether we are engrafted or whether we are native born. Now, I'm not saying we need to become Jews. Believe me, I am not saying that. But what I am saying is we need to recognize there are times when we as Christians need to get outside the box just a little bit and get on our knees and give thanks to God. If you'll notice, each of these scriptures that I've shown you thus far, up until this last one, were words that Christ Himself spoke. And Jesus Himself shows us just how important the Feast of Tabernacles is, because I want you to understand that during the life of Israel, God used the Feast of Tabernacles to do some very important things. He used the Feast of Tabernacles during this time of celebration for the time when Solomon's temple was dedicated to the Lord. It was finally finished, it was finally built, and they dedicated it. It was during the Feast of Tabernacles when, during the day of Nehemiah and Ezra, the law was found. And Ezra brought out the law, and he read it before the people for the first time in decades. Okay, for some of them, it was the first time in their lives that they had ever heard the law. And when he read the law, they were rent. Their hearts were rent. And they repented. And they came before the Lord, and they rebuilt His temple, and they began worship once again. They began seeking after God once again. And Jesus said on the Feast of Tabernacles these words. Now on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, "If anyone is thirsty..." Now I want you to recognize this. Where is He at this point in time? He's in Jerusalem, and He's speaking this from Jerusalem. All right? "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to Me and drink. He who believes in Me, as the Scripture said, from this innermost being will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke of the Spirit, who those believed in Him were to receive, for the Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified." When Jesus spoke this word, those people thought He was nuts. Many of them tried to kill Him at that point in time. They came after Him, but could not touch Him. Because he was speaking of something that was yet to happen. He was speaking of the Holy Spirit that was going to come. That same Holy Spirit that fills you and I this day. Because Jesus is the reason for the Feast of Tabernacles. He is the fullness of God's provision in the lives of mankind. Why am I saying all this in a funeral for a dear saint that has passed? Because I'm here to tell you right now, she lived her life to that gospel. She lived her life understanding the fullness of God's provision in her life. You know, I think it's funny because I want you to understand this. 15 years, 10 months, and 8 days. What is that? That's the amount of time Miss Arlene and I worked together as pastor and secretary. 15 years, 10 months, and 8 days. That's a third of my life. Did I know her? Oh, you don't pray with a woman 2 and 3 times a week and not get to know their heart. We would be in the office and things would come up and we would pray. And we would pray. And we would pray. And she met Dan and we prayed. Actually, Dan was on the scene before I was, to be honest with you. But God blessed her. Miss Arlene told me she was content to live her life as a single lady, that she was going to die alone, her and her cats, and somebody would find her one day. But God had different plans. Because you see, God knew that he wanted Miss Arlene to have a family. Because that was one of the things that Miss Arlene said that she really missed was the fact that she didn't have a family. She said it was lonely. And God provided not only a husband, but sons and daughters. And she did call you that. Provided children. And Miss Arlene said, "Oh, I'm so grateful none of them are in diapers." She literally did say that. I'm not making that up. But she said, "I have a family, and they love me as if I've always been there." You know, that's a promise of God. He says, "And I will give you brothers and sisters and mothers." And God fulfilled that promise through Jesus Christ, and you were the fulfillment of that promise. You gave a woman hope. You gave her life because you brought her into your lives. It wasn't things, it was life. No matter how old the things were, everything in that house was old, right? Miss Arlene would say, "Yes, including me." Do you know how many times I've heard that story? Oh my goodness. But God blessed Miss Arlene and brought her to that place. Because she received a husband, she received a family, she received friends. Each and every one of us here is here because she touched our lives in some way. Look around. This is only a portion of the lives that she has touched. Miss Arlene was a Sunday school teacher for 48 years. That's a long time. And when she retired from that, she was already the church secretary. So she really never retired from ministry. I wouldn't let her go. But God took her away. No, God did not take her. Death took her. And death is by Satan. But God says from the very first scripture we saw on the screen, when we die, if we are in Christ, he will receive us to himself. Please understand that. You're not going to somebody, you know, the picture is old St. Peter standing at the pearly gates with the book and he's checking everybody out, right? No. Jesus is there waiting for us. Nobody else. The Lord God himself welcomes us into heaven because there would be no other way. It is only by the blood of the Lamb that we come in. Where he says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one cometh to the Father but by me. So where does that leave us today? That leaves us with the reality of asking the question, who needs salvation? Ooh, it's already there. Look at that. These guys are on the ball. Who needs salvation? Everyone needs salvation because all have sinned. Romans 3, 10 through 12. As it is written, there is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands, no one who seeks God. All have turned away and have together become worthless. There is no one who does good, not even one. Each and every one of us needs to understand that we are sinners. Amen. Each and every one of us needs to understand outside the Holy Spirit, there is nothing we can do for salvation. Amen. It is only in the recognition of who we are and our depravity that we can come to a place of truly finding the freedom from that depravity. Because we don't understand what depravity costs us. Because the next question then is, why do we need salvation? Why? Because the price or the consequence of sin is death. Romans 6 and 23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. Each and every one of us needs to understand that in our sin we are dead to God. We are dead in spirit, and we will be dead in being if we pass and do not know God, do not have Him in our hearts. And by that, I don't mean knowing His name. I don't mean, well, I go to church. Because I'll tell you right now, Satan is in this building. Satan is in this hall right now. His demons are in this hall right now. Satan goes to church every Sunday. He knows God not only by name, but by face. And he's not getting in. What makes us think we're any better? We have to have that real relationship where we understand that I need to die. But the question then becomes, how does God provide? Jesus Christ died for our sins. He paid the price for our death. For God demonstrated His own love for us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Each and every one of us, we are stuck where we are, but when we can claim the name of Jesus Christ, when we can understand that the price needs to be paid, and the only price that can be paid for sin is death. Something has to die. That's Old Testament, folks. God hasn't taken that away. But the life of bulls was only good for a temporary time. Why? Because bulls only live temporary. So there's only one sacrifice that could pay for all sin for all time. And what is that sacrifice? The sacrifice of Jesus Christ, God's only Son, who is eternal. The eternal Lord, God, Creator, Maker, Sustainer, Provider, had to die on our behalf. So the question then becomes, how do we receive this provision called salvation? We receive salvation and eternal life through faith in Jesus Christ. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified. It is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. When we understand, it calls for an action from us and not a reaction, a true action. That we must confess with our mouth, that we believe in our hearts. This is an inward change that needs to be spoken out. I've talked with so many people and they'll say to me, oh, but Pastor, I have a private faith. Great. When you get to heaven, do you think there's a private section? Don't tell anybody. I think the Baptists do. If you're a Baptist, I'm just joking, okay? just having a little fun, because it can get a little serious when you're talking the gospel, can it? But we need to remember, Jesus laughs too. But there is a time for serious, and this is the time for serious. Because here's the reality. You confess with your mouth. You speak it out. You call it out. And you believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is everything. And I can tell you right now, there's a lady in heaven that sold out her entire life on that reality. In fact, she gave the last years of her life to see a church get on its feet. And I love her for that and so much more. I'll miss her for that because now I'm stuck with it, along with the rest of you. And what a place to be stuck, amen? But then where do we go from there? Where do we go from there? What is the result of the provision of this salvation? Well, salvation through Jesus Christ brings us into a relationship of peace with God. What does that mean? Well, according to Romans 5:1, it says, "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord, to the glory of the Father. Amen." Because with no condemnation, David said, "Blessed is the generation whom God does not count their sin against them." Lord God, thank you that I live in that generation of grace under the blood of Christ Jesus. Can I get an amen? And how many people in our world today need to know this grace, need to receive this grace? So many that it can't be counted. Last slide. So how do we respond? What is our response in this thought of the Feast of the Tabernacles and celebrating God's provision? Well, the first thing we have to do is we have to receive that provision. How can you celebrate God for something that you've not received? That's like sending a thank you card for a Christmas gift that you never got. How many of us do that kind of stuff? None of us do. But how do we receive it? Number one, we have to admit that we're a sinner. Number two, we need to understand that as sinners, we each deserve death. That's separation from God eternally. We need to believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross to save us from our sins and to save us from death itself. Separation from God eternally. We need to repent by turning of our old life of sin to a new life in Christ. That's what that heart and that cross and that dove symbolizes to this church. It tells us this is the turning, that we no longer have the heart of sinful men, but God, through the power of His Holy Spirit, dwelleth in us, and we have the heart of Christ in us now. Amen? And that heart of Christ then should compel us to take the gospel out into the world, that they would that others would receive the cross and then receive the Holy Spirit. Amen? Because when we receive through faith in Jesus Christ, we have received the free gift of salvation, the fullness of God's provision in each of our lives. Just taught you. I just brought you. And now today I'm going to say this. There's a body of a dear saint in the back room because she ain't here, amen? But she's in glory, and I know what she expected me to preach today because I know her. And she would, then none of us would miss being there. Dan told me one of the final words that Miss Arlene was saying was, "I don't know if you'll be there with me." But he had no idea who she was talking about. It may be somebody in this room. If you don't know God this day, you need to proclaim His name. If you are willing, if you are wanting to receive that grace, to understand and to be where Miss Arlene is, to know the love that she is now receiving because it's what she gave you the whole time she was here. It's why you're in this room today, because of that love, because of that caring that came from her. It didn't just come from her. It came through her from Christ because she was sold out to Him. She was submitted to Him. So today, I say to you who are here, whether you have believed today for the first time or whether you have believed and have believed for years so that there would be no embarrassment, if you have believed today or if you have believed at any time in the past and you count yourself in Christ, I would like you to stand up right now as your public proclamation to the Lord. As I said, I don't want anybody to be embarrassed, but it's got to be a public proclamation. It says, confess with thy mouth. Let us confess with our mouth. Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen. Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen. For when we have believed in our heart and we confess with our mouth, then we are saved. And eternity is ours. And if we have truly believed, then you are not the one. And I'm not kidding you. When Dan spoke those words to me, I knew why this sermon was ending this way. Because Miss Arlene was fearful that someone she loved would miss out. I asked Dan, I said, are you going to put a fork in Miss Arlene's hand? Because the best is yet to come. Dessert. Hang on to your fork. The best is yet to come. Let us pray. Gracious Father, we give our hearts to You this day. And Lord, we simply ask that each and every one of us here who has stood up, that we would be rededicated to You, and for those who have stood up for the first time, Lord, that You would allow them to understand and know that they need to get connected with a church this day. And for some of us here who have stood up, who've been lacking in our church attendance, Lord, that we need to recommit ourselves and get back into that relationship because, Father God, that relationship is to be moment by moment, not here and there when it's sporadically desired or convenient. Because, Lord God, the cross was not convenient, but it was necessary. So too is our relationship with You. It is necessary. It is vital. It is the most important thing any of us can ever have. For it is the fullness of Your provision. And to that, Lord, we give Thee thanks, grace, and praise. And all God's children said, amen. And amen. You may be seated. As we come to our time of prayer, may we come before the Lord with our cares chorus.
I cast all my cares upon You. I lay all of my burdens down at Your feet. And any time that I don't know I'm
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA 17083.